A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This ad is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. One thing Nat and I do well is have fun. Fun is our chance to let loose, be silly, connect with friends, and live in the moment. Whether it's in our backyard with family and friends or on tour with all of you, we will never skim on a fun time. And you know who else doesn't skim? ByHeart, especially when it comes to your babies. ByHeart is the only American-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk without a drop of skim. Whole milk is full of healthy fats like naturally occurring MFGM, which play an important role in babies' brain development and growth. And you know what else they don't skim on? Protein. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk thanks to the two most abundant proteins found in breast milk, plus broken down proteins. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code unfiltered20 for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Kat and Nat, and exciting news. This is our new podcast, Parenting Teens Unfiltered. This is for people with tweens or teens in their life, ages 9 to 17. You need this. You are going to download it because it is a game changer, and we created it because we needed it. Go subscribe now and check out the episode.
Hi guys, it is welcome. It's Monday.
Welcome.
It's Kat. It's not Kat and Nat. It's actually Parenting Unfiltered, which is a really, really important
with Kat and Nat.
Well, obviously featuring Kat and Nat.
Starring Kat and Nat, guys.
I like that. Starring Kat and Nat.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, just know that you can always go over to The Common Parent on Instagram or go to commonparent.com and join the community. You need this in your life.
Yeah. And I think two really important things. We have a free newsletter that goes out that kind of rounds everything up. And my mom the other day, did I say this before? Mm-hmm. We were like a dinner party and she's like, do you know this newsletter?
Husband.
I'm like, dude, that's our newsletter. Oh, she's like, oh, everyone should subscribe. I'm like, thanks, mom.
I know, guys, everyone should subscribe, and you can subscribe to the CAP over at thecommonparent.com, and every parent should just subscribe to this. They should actually, the government should make sure that everybody has it, and the government should pay for everyone to be a member.
I can't believe it's free. It's really crazy. And I mean that in the best way, because I think that there's so much misinformation and there is so much information that comes at you as a parent. You just get exhausted and you want to tune it out. I am still married. I just forgot my rings. But what I will say is, the roundup of the sort of what's happening, there seems to be a really big focus on teenagers right now. And it makes sense because they've never been in such a bad state. And we've talked about so many things. Ugh. And, you know, we talk about it and then it comes up on my phone. And crime, children are getting younger when they're committing crimes, and they're also, the gender is also becoming not just boys, it's girls and boys. And we were talking about it, and it comes to my phone that an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old did a carjacking just down the street from us, not here, but like down the, in the other city beside us. And 11. Mm. 11.
Mm-hmm.
A carjacking.
Mm. And are they being paid for it?
I probably. I mean, they've been, they can't be held because they're too young. I was just like, anyways, it's such a time to talk about youth because
you know the other,
we should be.
We have to be. You can't just ignore it. And these, guess what? Here's the thing. These youth will be the people that are running the future, that are our future. We believe the children are our future. They are, right? So we've got to equip them. The other thing is, I think that obviously because of so many different reasons, but social media is showing them so many naughty things that they can do that they didn't used to think, like we wouldn't have known that we could do. One of them is a big one in our city, and it's, and I said to my kids yesterday, I go, is this not over? The they what is it called?
Subway riding
and
like building surfing.
It's
like,
got a word. I'm pulling
not,
a blank
it's not
right
parkour,
now.
Parkour, but it used to be called parkour.
No, it's now like it's rooftop. Rooftopping. They go on the top of buildings and they film their dangle demons too, and they take videos of themselves dangling. And the crazy thing is that these are kids that our kids know, and we can see these videos and we know the buildings, and it is absolutely crazy. And you know, coming up, we're going to be having a podcast, but we did talk a lot about teens and lying.
Where'd you find the Monday?
In the podcast. It's in emails in Kath.
Okay.
And we talked about, is it normal? Because I'm thinking about all these kids doing these things and having to lie.
So I did a story yesterday about
lying.
Yeah, because the journal that we have, I said, even if your kid's not doing something, I think it's so good to give them the journal because so often they're afraid to get in trouble. Mm. And so they lie because they get in trouble for so much. And even if they don't feel like it's trouble, or they're like, you're always mad. You're like, I'm not mad. Like, this is not mad. Mm-mm. But they interpret it because their lives are so small that you're their life. Mm-hmm. So when you get upset or mad at them, that's the end of the world for them.
But also, if they know they've done something wrong and they want to tell you, they're immediately going to be like, you're mad. And you're like, you are anticipating me being mad. I'm actually not. And it was a really funny situation yesterday. My kid opened up a bag and sugar went everywhere. It was a bag of candy. And initially out of his mouth, without even thinking, he was like, are you mad?
Yeah.
And I was like, obviously it was an accident. I'm not mad, but you're worried about doing something because you're worried I'm going to be mad. Like, you're so worried I'm going to be mad.
And imagine it was so bad.
I know.
What they would think in their brains.
If he's worried about spilling sugar.
I know.
I know he's not telling me what's going on.
So I thought this journal, even if you don't write in it, what a gift to say. Because it represents something, right? And it's not just a notebook. It's not just a thing, because it's really clearly branded in something that represents something so much bigger. It's, if you need me, I cannot get mad if you write in this journal. So you're giving them a venue, because you will get mad at them when they don't put their shoes away. Mm-hmm. And you're not mad, you're just irritated, but they interpret it as mad. Mm-hmm. So this is a place, write anything. And when I read it, I won't be in front of you and I can't lose my shit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something every family should have from a young age, where they feel safe that they can, you know, be like, hey, I have a problem. And it represents something so much bigger. But lying often comes from them afraid to disappoint you. There's chronic liars who are in, like, there's so many layers, but I mean the kids who,
like, when the difference, like,
who did this,
not like making up a fake story, an extravagant story for no apparent reason,
like my nephew.
Yeah, but you know, a mom came up to me in the school yesterday and she was like, I bought it. And then she's just like going on about how, you know, she's got kids, and so many people come up and they'll talk to us, obviously, because we have the common parent, but also they know that we have 7 kids, and also they know sometimes we have kids older than them.
Yeah.
So they feel like, they always like turn like, how are we going to be okay?
Are we
going to do this together? So she was so funny. She's like, I got the journal, and that just really opened up a dialogue about the kids getting older and you know, the attitudes and the lying and all of this. And of course we discussed it. And then at the end she goes, okay, so if it doesn't work, I'm just going to send them to your house. And I was like, hey, I am not the expert, but we can all learn together, but at least she's following. And that's the best start, is that you care and that you want to implement some things to make it easier for your relationship.
Yeah. And I think lying is, if you think about at the core of you being being disappointing people you love sucks so badly. And we as adults can have hindsight and be like, whatever. Like it's mm-hmm. In hindsight, it's so easy to understand with life experience. Mm-hmm. And when you own up to it, it's so much easier. But mm-hmm. when they're little and they really, you know, my kids get in trouble, not in really in trouble, but you know, whose shoes are these? Who did that? Like a lot of who did this? Mm-hmm. Who left this? Where? Mm-hmm. Why is this? Who mm-hmm. left the door open? Who left the garage open? There's mm-hmm. a lot of who's, right? Mm. And I think it's just, actually we have to rephrase that. Like in my family, we have to start saying mm-hmm. a different word because mm-hmm. it automatically everyone kind of freezes. Defensive,
and they just immediately want to naturally say no, not mine. And then even if it was theirs, they're like, oh, now I've lied.
So everyone's so like, who did this?
Yeah.
And I've started the minute one of my kids are like, I did it. I'm like, thank you so much for mm-hmm. being honest before anything else can come out of anyone's mouth. And the amount of times now it's like, that was me.
Yeah.
And right away, I'm like, thank you so much for doing that. And that's the end of it because yeah. I'm not endorsing. I think a lot of people think you're like, it's fine that you left the hose on in the sink and mm-mm. turned on. You know, when you have to decipher between accident, like on purpose, mm-hmm. laziness being, you know, there's so many layers to look at, but automatically I think so many of us are frustrated because basic things are like, are you fucking kidding me
yeah.
right now?
Yeah, but then we have to stop and think. They do not have the life experience we have. Their brains are not fully developed. This isn't an excuse. It's the absolute truth. These are facts. But take these facts because they will make you feel better in the moment.
And I think that when you have that safe haven of a journal or a book being like when something happens, I will not get mad at you. It's like it's a different venue for them to go in and understand that there is a safe place where someone has their back because little moments will happen. No one's perfect. And mm-hmm. as parents, we will get frustrated. When you have a lot of kids in the house, it's easy to get frustrated by overwhelming, you know, how can you not know you have to brush your teeth? Or how do you not know to put your dishes away? Like, how do you just leave a towel in the middle of the floor? Like, how is this possible
still? I've got one too, is when they're undoing the dishwasher and they have a particular item. And you know, you always use the same items in your kitchen all the mm-hmm. time. And they go, where does this go?
Oh, yeah.
Are you telling me you've never put this away before?
Or gotten it out?
And then that's your reminder that there's just you can't have expectations when you haven't taught them. So then you remind yourself, you don't excuse it, but you say to yourself, that's something we need to work on.
And they need or to when do they the put the bowl often. Just in the dishwasher, like up, like just sit it on the top of the thing.
Oh, that's a you and me thing too.
I would never open the dishwasher and just place a big bowl.
Oh, that's a crazy one. I've never seen that before.
Oh, that was I'm like, is this you know the dinner bowl that the person got? I was like, sorry.
Is that where you put it?
Upside, just like sitting in the middle of the rack, like just flat up, just like serving it to the dishwasher. Mm. I was like, okay, this is where we draw. You can get it a little bit crooked.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
flat up on
yeah,
the.
Yeah, yeah. So that one deserves a year in trouble.
I think lying definitely is a systemic issue in the family where you have to look at what have you gotten upset about mm-hmm. and remember that when they're lying, they're usually nervous to be honest with you. And mm-hmm. I think it's a check-in with yourself being like, hey, I see that maybe you're having trouble because you feel like you're disappointing me, but as a group, as a family, I'm going to do better at be appreciating honesty in this family.
Yeah.
And then catch them when it's little, yeah. you know, when they're like, oh, the front door is open. Who left it open? Like, try to get them to do it. Then you'd be like, thank you for being honest. Mm-hmm. Put them in situations where you can thank them for being honest. And
you know,
compulsive liars, I think that's a different category.
Yeah, I think that's a totally different thing.
I think that's like a mental health.
We all know those people that are like that or were like that when we were younger and they made up stories for no reason. You're like, what?
No, like about everything.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I don't know what that is. Maybe we should have an expert on about compulsive liars because if you have one, you don't know what to do.
Often you don't know you have one.
Wait, let's take a quick break. Parents don't.
Let's take a quick break.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've been following us, you know we are last-minute planners when it comes to summer, except for this year. We even have one of our kids going to overnight camp for a month. A whole month. We're super excited for them, but we are getting anxious about not seeing them for that long. How will they cope? Will they make friends? Will they be homesick? We all have our own unique set of stressors, varying in size and significance, yet when we hold on to them, they can gradually take a toll on our well-being. Fortunately, therapy provides a safe space where you can get things off your chest and find effective strategies to work through whatever is weighing you down. Therapy offers a place to discover strategies for stress reduction and balance in your life, helping you face life's challenges with new strength. Like when your tween goes to overnight camp for a month and you're trying to put on a brave face. If you are thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, designed for convenience, flexibility, and tailored to fit your schedule. Simply complete a short questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist, knowing you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/catandnat today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/catandnat.
But it seems like everybody else knows.
Yeah, and compulsive liars often are victims of every situation.
Yeah.
This is just not, this is no. I've never read a book on it. I've never studied it. I'm just taking a guess on the compulsive liars I know in my life, who they are. And it feels like the compulsive liars are very good at being the victim and rationalizing why they're the compulsive, why they spin the story into how they saw it.
Mm.
Like when they're always like I didn't do that. Or like, you know, when they, because there's people who storytell.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are just like flat out.
Oh yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or like,
yeah, I totally think they actually believe what they're saying. There's those.
They spin it.
Yeah, that's the way their eyes and their brain saw it.
That wasn't me. That was absolutely, they did that. I didn't do that. You absolutely did that. What?
I know. And yes, that's another thing. But I was thinking also for the journal, when we're talking about these little things, these little lies, the little habits can turn into like something bigger. And we have had, therapists tell us that a journal like this can allow kids to really come out with some big things that, especially when you're thinking about your parents' judgment and your family's judgment, that there's no way in the world you could ever look at your parent and tell them, because it could be so heartbreaking that you don't want to see the disappointment in their eyes.
And until they're older too. I mean, sadly, there's some people who have done really like life-ending situations because they think their parents like
they would be so disappointed.
They couldn't handle the shame mm-hmm. of their parents. There's mm-hmm. no way out. And I think that's an extreme, but I think it's really important to know that you don't know what your kids carry in terms of your, in terms of the parents' validation and how important it is to that kid, because each kid is different, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, something to look into, and definitely join the Common Parent, but I'll get the, there's so many ways to get involved, from inexpensive to free to buying in and really learning about how to parent. And at the end of the day, it's actually communication. And if you take, if you come to the Common Parent, you learn so much more than just than just how to parent. It's actually about how to communicate to kids at different levels and how to help them launch without ruining your relationship.
Because at the end of the day, they are humans and they are going to be adults. So we have to teach them by example how to be communicators.
And they're not adults. And that's what people want to treat them like yeah. they're adults, but they're not.
This episode is a, it's a podcast with Why Teens Lie and Gaslight with Deborah Vinal.
Oh, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. Did we do this one recently?
Mm-hmm.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
We have so many amazing ones. I have to go listen to it again.
I know.
Oh, and if you are in the Common Parent, you'll get a recap of the entire podcast mm-hmm. and the things and the reasons why to your inbox. Make sure you look at that. Don't ignore it, because you will have the better in five right there, like what you need to know without having to listen to the whole thing. So, yeah, check your inbox for that one too. Yeah, no gaslighting.
And if you are a member of the Common Parent, make sure to use the community and have conversations either anonymously or not anonymously. And this week we had our first live Zoom where we all got to have just conversations about parenting, because it's so much better when you have a place that is non-judgmental and supportive and you can talk about what's going on. You'll realize you are not alone.
The amount of people that were like, oh my gosh, I'm normal mm-hmm. and my kid's normal. That was so, okay, normal. No one's normal. But the fact that everyone felt like they
validated.
Were, that, oh, you too.
I know.
I felt like I was crazy.
I know.
And the problems we think we have, when you hear someone else say it, you're like, oh, because everyone wants that, everyone else's problems.
Yeah.
I wish I had your problem. I wish I had your problem.
Tradesies.
Guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends, and listen to our expert. Yeah.
Guys, we are here with Deborah Vinal. She is a doctor of psychology, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and a certified EMDR and brain spotting practitioner. She specializes in helping individuals heal from traumatic life experiences and painful relationship dynamics. She has written Gaslighting, a step-by-step recovery guide to heal from emotional abuse and build healthy relationships, and Trauma Recovery Workbook for Teens, exercises to process emotions, manage symptoms, and promote healing. Thank you for joining us.
And we're so excited you're here, because we actually, this was a big question in one of our, we have a private community where people can go chat. And this was something that a lot of parents seem to struggle with, which is gaslighting and lying. So it is so timely that you're here. And we're so glad there is an expert in this exact field, because I never knew it was like this precise that we could actually get right to it. We know teens lie for a million reasons, whether it's drinking or they just want to, they know their parents are going to say no. Why is there a reason why teenagers lie?
Well, there's probably a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. One big one, obviously, is to get out of trouble. Lying is going to happen more when there's less confidence in the relationship, when there's more fear. So lying is often a fear response, whether it's of consequences for knowing their own culpability in a situation, or not trusting that the unconditional positive regard of the relationship will be consistent. There's a fear of that something's going to change. And so then lying is a way to, of course, try to get out of that consequence, whether natural or otherwise.
Does every teen lie, like guaranteed or no?
You know what? I have this really great relationship with my son. And I remember saying to him, he's a teenager. And I said to him once when he was in about middle school, you know, I trust you so much because I know you never lie to me. And he's like, yeah, I do. Okay, so I'm going to go with yes.
So it's part of the process, maybe, that you don't need to know every, like, mm-hmm. I guess for some parents, we do we need to be aware that lying is something they're going to do and it's developmentally probably okay because we don't need to know everything? Or like, is there a boundary of where we're like concerned or normal? Is there a normal amount of lying that we can accept?
That's a great question. I think that we should expect it for sure, that there's going to be a certain amount, because like you said, there is, adolescence is a time of individuation, right? Finding yourself and separating. And like you said, not needing to share everything with your parent who might be more intrusive, might be wanting more information than the teen is ready to give. And so it's really an immature response to an appropriate developmental need. So the appropriate response, the mature response would be to set boundaries and to be able to confidently, assertively say, you know what, I'm not comfortable talking about that, or that's for me. But teens don't necessarily have the experience, the life experience, the confidence, or even necessarily the permission to set those boundaries in our dynamics. And so they fall back to an easier, more rudimentary response.
Is there a way we as parents, although they're going to lie no matter what, is there a way that we can sort of set the boundaries so that less lying would happen? And I think in that first answer, you sort of, you gave a bunch of examples of that broadly, but more about like the fear, or how we could limit the fear so the lying is less.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Absolutely. I think when we really work to emphasize that unconditional positive regard, that the foundation of our relationship with our teens is not going to be shaken no matter what is revealed, there's going to be more confidence to share openly. You know, whether it's about homework or activities that are done on the weekends, to know that like, you can tell me anything and I am going to love you, and to say it, even say it overtly directly to your child, I love you no matter what. I'm here for you. I might not like all the choices that you make, but I want to help you figure things out. So
Is that something that we would like, cause I regularly tell them?
Yeah, regularly, periodically, whenever it feels appropriate, not just once, because the things that are said once often don't stick.
In terms of lying and, you know, missed, like they understand the situation to be different. So often teens interpret events or see events or interpret how they're feeling differently than how we see the fact, right? Mm-hmm. Their drama, their, you know, high emotions, not all, but a lot. When over-exaggeration seems to happen a ton with teenagers, like is, I guess, developmentally as parents, when do things become a problem, and when are we letting them exaggerate, storytell, and explain from their perspective how they thought the event went down? Does that make sense? Because I think what we're always trying to do is decipher, do I have a problem, or is this just part of growing up?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot in there. For one thing, I think it's really important to recognize that we do all have different perspectives of an experience, and that's going to be true with our teens as well as ourselves. And to hold loosely to our own experience of truth, right? That our experiences are valid, but it may not be the absolute solid gold because they've seen it from another angle, and that can be valid too. So make room for that gray. At the same time, like you said, people, teens might minimize or dramatize something, right? And there's different reasons for that. Somebody might minimize something because they're afraid of your reaction, almost to protect you or to protect themselves from ramifications. They might dramatize things for attention. So we want to really always look at the need behind a behavior, whether that's a lying, gaslighting behavior or any kind of behavior. What is the need that they're trying to meet? Maybe maladaptively, but the need itself is real. Needs are valid, right? So if they're being really dramatic, they're making up stories, what is the need? Attention. And that's a really valid need. So how can we meet that in other ways that are healthy? So what I like to do when I have somebody like that, who's just making up a lot of dramatic stories, is kind of respond more neutrally to the stuff that you kind of, that seems overblown or maybe even made up, and really try to show up 100% for those things that might be less exciting, but really feel true.
Mm-hmm. And I guess even in a situation where they're convincing you, like, that did not happen, I did not do that, I am one, you know, when they're so adamant, whether it's a school situation. I mean, we can think of situations where our kids.
But you mean when they are lying, but they're trying so hard to
convince
us?
I think maybe sometimes they're so convincing that you're. Mm. It's like in their head that it actually didn't happen that way. Mm. Sometimes there's no way. Is that gaslighting when you feel like they are, when you, let's say a teacher calls and is like, this happened. And then they're like, that absolutely did not. Like, yeah. How do we validate them and show that we trust them and hear them without supporting them, manipulating and gaslighting? Does that make sense?
In a way that they're not intending to lie, but they're not seeing the truth. Mm. What do we do? It's like, I know your teacher didn't call me to tell me this because they had nothing else in their life to do and they just wanted to call and tattletale on you. Mm-hmm. Like,
you know, how do I support them? But it feels like they're manipulating. Like, how do you support someone in as a teen when the lines feel so murky? Because we don't really know what gaslighting is, but it feels like teens are the epitome of gaslighting because they make you feel crazy when you're like, I thought we were in a good situation right now. And it can feel very chaotic when they get involved, teenagers and their communication.
Yeah, when they're trying to craft a situation or make it into something else.
Yes.
Well, try to find the seed that you can empathize with. Like, something happened at school. The teacher says it was this. They say it wasn't this. And we can maybe empathize with, it sounds like you had a rough day at school for whatever reason, right? Because it was a misunderstanding, because you actually did get in a fight with your peer, whatever it was. I'm so sorry you had a rough day. It sounds like there's different perspectives here. And maybe some misunderstanding, maybe we should sit down with the teacher and we can all talk it through, because they're not as likely to tell a completely different story to you and to the teacher who is there when you're all in the same room. They might not want to do that. But, you know, it's almost like a bluff calling at that point. Mm-hmm. And if not, it's an option. So then if it really is a misunderstanding and they do care about their teacher feels, it gives them the opportunity. And if it really is, they're just making stuff up, you've kind of squished them into a bit of a corner. So they're less, and then they know they can't keep BSing you because you are going to call them on stuff. You are going to do some fact checking. Set a precedent a little bit differently for the next time.
Yeah, I totally know that moment where I'm like, well, I mean, that just sounds so inappropriate. I'm going to have to just email your teacher and make a meeting so we can all just get together and discuss this.
And they're like, no.
Well, no, okay. I mean, it wasn't really, I've so been there. What do we do if we flat out, they're looking at us with their beautiful, innocent faces, our babies that were, and we know that they've lied to us and they're continuing to look us in the face and lie to our faces. Is there a right or wrong way to react in that moment?
There's certainly a lot of ways we can do it wrong, right? And that's what makes it so hard. We kind of know that, like lashing out. The really hard thing is sometimes we just want to call them on it, but without 100% evidence, it could be damaging to the relationship if you're not, you know, if you're 98% sure, but you're not 100% sure. What if it's that one time you get it wrong and you just call them a liar? And that could really be a breach between you. So that's really, really hard. But you can own where you're at. Like, I'm feeling really uncomfortable because something that doesn't feel right. So I don't want to keep hashing this through. Let's just drop it for now. That could be one option. You know, you can go back and do a little fact checking if the scenario provides those opportunities, and then bring the evidence to them. Or maybe in those kinds of situations where they're being kind of dodgy, moving forward, you find ways to be more on top of the information. So like, if it's a matter of, you know, like you said, with the teacher, that you're getting different stories, like, let's have these meetings with that third party present, or they're splitting you and your spouse, if you have a partner, let's have these conversations with all three in the room. So you give them a little less opportunity, a little less latitude going forward to do that kind of crazy lying. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is find other ways that you can confirm your senses. Like, when your five senses are telling you, like, I know this happened, I saw it with my own eyes, I heard it, you know, then they're still denying it. That crazy lying, that really gaslighting. And then yes, you can tell them what you have observed. You know, I saw this and I heard this. And that doesn't match up.
And then what? And then what do you say?
And then you end it. Don't fight with somebody who's a crazy liar, because it won't win. If they're really digging their heels into that point where it's just crazy lying, it's absolutely, you know, they're not going to back off and be like, okay, you caught me. Like, how many of your times have you ever heard a teenager say, you caught me, mom, you know? Right. So at that point, just like, this is what I've observed. This is what I've seen. And I'm done discussing it.
Do you think that in that moment, you hope that they have enough of a conscience to be like, holy shit, I got caught. She knows me better than I thought she did. And then we carry on, or like, what do we do with this information so that
you hold them accountable?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the less that you get in the argument with them, because see, when they can pull you into the argument, they're already winning because they've changed the focus from their wrongdoing to you being right. Now you're a little bit focused on validating that they're wrong and you're right. And so they've shifted the balance a little bit. So the less that you can get pulled into this dynamic of back and forth with them and just stay calm and centered in what you know is true and that, no, I'm not willing to entertain this crazy story that doesn't make sense, that doesn't line up with what I've observed, they can't get as wrapped up in it. And so they're going to be more left to, like you said, those feelings of, oh, maybe there's some guilt, maybe there's some conscience, having room to take up space in their head instead of just what's my next argument?
Does everyone know if they have a liar? Like, do people know if they are, because I feel like everyone wants to see the best in their kids. And I think some absolutely know their kids are lying, but I think it's such a big trust breach that you're like, something's gone severely wrong. Mm-hmm. And number one, do we know we have liars? And number two, how do we correct this behavior if we do have liars?
I think when you have a chronic liar, like somebody who's more than just like, did you get your homework done? Yeah, you know, but not, you know, like little ones. But when it's really, you know, denying really big things or making up stories or you know, where it's covering up patterns of other behavior problems, you're going to probably pick up on it. You'd have to be pretty in some pretty big denial or really not very present with your children to miss it. What's really good to do is to stop and to just check in with yourself. Notice what's happening in your body when they're telling you these stories. Like, are you feeling something tensing up? You're feeling something feeling off or uncomfortable in your stomach, your chest, your head, anywhere. And listen to that, because that's your intuition telling you something important. And if we override that because we want to believe something, that's when we're getting stuck in our own bias there.
Is it important, like, if you know your kid has lied, but you just don't want to get into it, and you're like, it's kind of a big lie. Is it important for us to address it with them and let them know that we know you were lying to me? Or is there a place like to just not address it because it feels like too big of a thing to deal with? Or do you need to keep patching them on these things so that they know that it's not going unnoticed?
Well, if it, like you said, it's covering up something that's a really concerning behavior problem, it's probably really worth addressing, you know, like, say it's around substance use and like, no, that wasn't mine. Somebody put it in my bag, you know, that doesn't seem right to me. And you know what? I'm not really interested in having a dialogue about whether or not it's yours. What I'm concerned about is why this is going on. I want to hear what's going on in your life. You know, like skip past the lie and go to what's that's going to be a lie. Okay. For both your relationship and for something happening that changes it. What happens when somebody is called on their behavior is they get defensive, and defensiveness never leads to change.
Okay.
Well, do you consequence? Do you discipline? How do you correct? How do you let them know that you know, and like, cause you want them to continue to tell you. Like I remember from one of our amazing experts back in the day, whenever they tell you the truth, you know, you say, thank you for being honest with me. Even if it's something like I broke that, and you're like, thank you for being honest with me. How can we problem solve this? Right. So it does start younger, but let's just say it's older now, and they're maybe lying about not knowing homework or not knowing, like I didn't, like, you know, they are obviously making lies to help them to maybe not take responsibility. Maybe it's like chronic little lies to make them not have to do what they have to do. How do we discipline, let's say, mid lies and big lies? And then how do we restore that relationship? And can you restore a liar?
So with those kind of mid lies, like, you know, did you get your homework done while I was out this afternoon? Yeah. And then, well, actually, I was playing video games and it's not done. And now I'm worried about tomorrow. Okay. Thanks for telling me. Thanks for being honest. And what are we going to do about it? And then there's going to be a natural consequence built into that if you can hold them accountable to that. Like, What does that mean? Are they going to have to stay after school for tutoring? Are they going to have to, you know, miss something else that's fun because they're going to have to get it done? So there's a lot of opportunities for that built-in accountability. And like you said, like, thank you for being honest. That helps me to be on your team. That helps me to trust you. You know, you can really reinforce that honesty, and that can start to shift the dynamic of your relationship and of the line toward trust. And so there often is a place for discipline, but we always want to keep in mind the point of discipline really is to shape behavior, like you said. And so it's not just to mete out punishment in a way that feels, well, punitive, that feels, because that can be very distancing and won't actually build trust. That will reinforce the lying because they're trying to avoid the aversive effects. They're trying to avoid the punishment, right? So what's usually more effective is going to the heart of the matter. How can we address the actual problem that the lying was covering up? And okay. That might feel very punitive to them because they might be losing something they like. Like, you know, when they go hang out with a certain friend and that's when they come home with the drugs in the backpack, they might not be hanging out with that friend, but it's not because they're trying to punish them. It's because you're trying to shape the behavior. And mm-hmm. It's giving them so much love and so much empathy. Like, I know it really hurts to be separated from a friend, but I'm really worried about you and about how you're changing when you're with them. And so we're going to have to take a little time off. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. I feel like when we talk to experts often, we talk about gaslighting. And I think that there are some people that might not know exactly what the definition of gaslighting is and how come and how to deal with it with teens, because they see, like Kat said, they seem to be really good at gaslighting parents. So what does it mean? Why do teens do it? And how do we handle it?
Sure. Well, gaslighting is a pattern of behavior in which somebody tries to gain the upper hand by manipulating the other person through basically crazy lying. So through denying what you can sense with your five senses. So you've seen them hit their brother and no, I didn't. You're crazy. You're seeing things. You've got mental issues. All of that kind of stuff that makes you start to, and it goes on and on. So it's often a pattern, not just like a one-time thing where you're like, are you gaslighting me? You know, where they're really starting to make you doubt your own perceptions.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So it is them denying your reality of what you're saying.
Yes, your reality of your experience, what you're seeing, what you're hearing.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when my one kid will be like, well, you're only doing that because, you know, he's the baby. So you treat him different. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm actually treating you equal. But then I go to bed at night. I'm like, am I treating him? Am I treating him differently? Are they trying to convince me that I'm actually like favoriting someone?
You find yourself questioning yourself. Yeah. It's not a bad thing to ever stop and question yourself, because sometimes our teens do have insight that we haven't mm-hmm. considered. And we can learn and grow from it. But when you're starting to really question your reality and you're starting to wonder, like, can I even trust myself? Is my memory going? Do I need to go to a neurologist? Like, you're being gaslighted.
When we are dealing with teens and lying, and I think, do we get concerned? Would they be lying to their friends? Would they be lying to school? Is there a pattern that goes outside the house, or do they situationally lie where they're, you know, because I think at the bottom of line's got to be kind of a void of something. They're trying to avoid something, like you said, like whether it's a punishment fear. Or fear, something. Oh, does it happen across their lives and we're concerned about friendships? Like, are there other clues we're seeing because, you know, some teens don't communicate and they're just kind of like in their rooms and they kind of just don't lie, but they omit truths. So you're not even sure what's a lie and what's not a lie. Is this with one person that we worry about, or is it something that goes across everybody?
I would anticipate that it's happening in other places as well, because if your moral compass makes space for deceiving people, then it's going to make space whenever that's convenient. So if they're going to avoid consequences with you, they're going to do the same with their teacher and perhaps also with their friends, right? So if you get caught, whether it's like, did you just tell our friend that secret I told you? No. Oh my gosh, I would never do that. Like, why would they admit to their friend that something that's mm-hmm. going to cost them something if they would deny things to you? So you're going to see that pattern everywhere. So it is kind of a character thing that needs to be shaped.
I assume I'm thinking about like someone who's like, my kid is such a liar. I'm thinking like, that kid's not very good at it. You know what I mean? If it keeps catching them over and over again,
yeah,
every single thing that they're doing feels like a lie. I'm like, that kid needs some work, because I assume that we don't catch them in half the lies that they're probably going to say and do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
Is omitting truth a lie?
It's deception, which I think it's important to focus on that overall concept of deception, rather, because otherwise you can get so lost in the weeds. Well, it wasn't technically a lie. Like,
yeah,
that's not helpful. Like we're focusing on honesty versus deception, as like that's our family moire here, that we're going to be honest with each other because that's respectful.
How do we teach accountability? Like, how do you teach them to, because it's a really uncomfortable feeling. So how do you teach them to be like, you know what, I take responsibility and I messed up. Like, is there a way to instill that in them where it's uncomfortable, terrible feeling? And if you haven't done it a lot, it's even more of a terrible feeling. So how do you own up to responsibility when most adults can't do it?
Well, one of the best things you can do is to model it, because you know what? I don't know about you, but there's always opportunities for me to own up that I've messed up with my kid, you know, find those and be humble enough to be that person who's like, hey, I'm sorry. I was short with you today. Wasn't your fault. That wasn't fair. Will you forgive me? You know, or whatever it was that you screwed up on. You know, I'm sorry that I didn't get you to school on time or whatever it is. So the more you model it and show the appropriate way to do it, the more you make it okay. It becomes also part of your family patterns. And hopefully they can learn and pick up on that at times as well. And when they do, so important to reinforce it and accept it. Okay. So if they're like, Mom, I'm really sorry, like with my example before, like I said that I did my homework while you were gone and I was just playing video games, and that is your teaching opportunity, not to lecture then, to be like, well, this is why you shouldn't lie and da-da-da-da. Like, you know, when you make space for that, it's much more likely to reoccur. So
I can think of one kid who's apologized to me. The rest of them, I cannot think of an apology that has come out of their mouth. I'm like, do they have to practice apologizing?
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Like, should they start?
Yeah. So when, you know, if you've got multiple kids, you've got even more of an opportunity because you can coach them through it with each other as well. So you're going to see those infractions, those times they've hurt each other. And you can teach them like a good pattern for how do we take responsibility? Like, I did this, it was wrong. This is how it hurt you. This is where I think it was wrong. And this is what I'm gonna do differently. And I'm sorry. And I hope you'll forgive me. You know,
I get my apologies through texts, which I don't mind. Yeah. Because I feel like it's usually later and it's the words are thoughtful and not angry. And so I don't mind.
No, I think that's great. And it's, you know, we want to give them all the baby steps. We don't have to make it some big trial. So if that's the way, and it is for teens, usually texting is very much a comfortable language. But like you said, it's later. And that makes a difference because we need to cool off to get in out of our emotional reactive part of our brain into our more cognitive rational part. And that's going to take removing themselves from the situation that was so inflamed, maybe between the two of you, and think it through. What can I own and what do I need to take responsibility for? And that's a really good sign that your kid's able to do that and wants to do that.
for the people who are like, I just keep catching my kids in lies and I feel like they're gaslighting me, all this, is this something that we can hopefully, they'll just outgrow? Or as a parent, we need to listen to the things that we've discussed today and implement them so that they can have a trusted relationship and no longer feel fear in the truth. But is there something about a teenager who's just going to like be more of a liar and they won't always be?
I think there's truth in both parts of your statement. So for one thing, I would say, no, I wouldn't let a problematic behavior just go and hope that they grow out of it, because most people don't change unless there's some impetus for change, something that, you know, the concept of rock bottom, something that makes you go, this isn't working for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the other part of what you said is also true, in that teenagers are, it's a tricky time of life, right? I mean, we've all been there. You're developing into all this independence and you're thinking in such a deeper level, but also you're not really that in control of your life. And your developmental task is to become in control of your life. And so they are more prone to use immature tools like lying to try to shape their world and get their way. And in that way, hopefully there's more room for them to grow out of it. But we don't want to lose this really important developmental period opportunity to teach them those skills while we still have some influence in their lives.
That makes sense.
Wow. You have been, it's been really helpful to hear like one topic on lying. So I think we've always touched over it, but I think that you've given us like tools and tips and things that we can look for. And I know you have a book, and where else can people find you, and where else can they reach out for support if they are dealing, if they really feel over their head about maybe a 16-year-old or 17-year-old who is really chronically lying and they're like, I'm over my head right now.
Sure. Yeah. You can find my books on Amazon or any bookstore where you normally buy books. You can find my website at drdeborahvinal.com. So drdeborahvinal.com. Not the most common last name.
We'll link it all for you.
I apologize for mispronouncing it earlier, now that I hear you say
it. No problem. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's also a link from there to my therapy website if you're looking for that information. Yeah. I don't remember if there's another part of your question.
No, I just think that parents need to know that there is help for this specific topic. So I think sometimes they don't think therapists, like maybe therapy isn't the place for them, but there is a time when if you are dealing with it and you're getting nowhere, it's probably best to reach out for help if you're not able to model your way out of it, if you will.
Yeah. And there's so many online search engines for therapists. Like you can always Google therapist, teenager, my area or whatever. You can go to Psychology Today and then there's filters you can go through. Or if you're looking for a certain kind of therapy, you can Google that and you'll find listings there. Therapist Finder, Theravive. There's so many.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's really helpful.
Don't give up. Or go to your school, their high school, talk to their guidance counselor, ask them for any suggestions. They usually have some good mental health support resources within and referrals outside of the school too.
That's great advice, actually. That is great advice. And then they can support at school too. And you can have a cross-body support. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And I was at a level 20, you brought me down to a level 3 with your calmness. So thank you for that. I could talk to you all day.
I'm back.
Thank you so much for joining us.